It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. So please that you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to prepare for the study. And while you're opening your Bibles and getting ready for the study, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. This study in Joshua chapter 10 is a good one, as all of them are, and so please that you just have your ears ready to hear, your heart prepared, and we're going to have a good study. And so, Joshua chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 1. Now it came to pass, as Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and how he had utterly destroyed it, and he had done as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, and Purim, king of Jartham, and unto Jaspha, king of Lachish, and unto Derbe, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jethmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them unto thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with the great slaughter of Gibeon, and chased them among the way that goeth up from Beth Horon, and smote them in Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died, and they were more which died with hailstones than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua unto the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel, and Joshua returned all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave of Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, five kings are found hid in the cave of Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them, and stay ye not. But pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindermost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them unto your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they had consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities, and all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, and the king of Jerusalem, and of Hebron, and of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought those kings unto Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your foot upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass, as the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, and cast them into caves wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And we're going to stop with the reading right there, because I think that's probably about as far as we're going to get today. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this study. It's such a time of rejoicing that we can open your precious word and learn from it. Oh, the only wisdom that is here for us is to be found in you, dear Father, not in this world. There is so much knowledge in this world, but without your wisdom to apply it, it is of no value. And so please today that you will teach us, just show us your way and will. I thank and praise you for this wonderful study. Now please that you'll guide and lead me, that I speak the right words, and we have a time, wonderful time of fellowship here today. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now. Speak to our hearts. Bring the lost to salvation. Bring them to the cross of Calvary, that they may know you as their Savior and trust in you each day. And then, dear Father, please, that they would just walk each day with you as they should, being a child of God. So I thank and praise you for this study, and we're going to look for your blessings now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gibeon. Remember what Gibeon did last time we were together? They had come and kind of tricked Joshua. They tricked the not only Joshua, but those in leadership positions. Gibeon had come and put on old clothes and had dug out some old food, and they come and the bread was moldy, and the wine was old, and the clothes were all tattered, and so here comes Gibeon, said, we've traveled from so far, we've heard of your God, we've heard of your power, and so we're coming that please that you would join us, and we would like to make a covenant with you, and so we've come to join you. Well, Joshua first said, you know, I think, aren't you my neighbors? And, oh, no, look at our clothes, look at our food, look how far we have traveled to come to make peace with you. And Joshua, instead of asking the Lord, he did not inquire of the Lord. He says, well, okay, he went by sight. You know, any time that we go by sight, there's trouble. We need to always, always go by the way of by our spirit, by our hearts. Follow that. Follow the Lord's leadership and His direction. And instead of that, Joshua being such a leader, and yet he still did this. It was such a sad day for Joshua that he did not inquire of the Lord. He watched the Lord give him Jericho. He watched the Lord after, again, he went first time to Ai and was defeated. Came back, and he asked the Lord the problem. The Lord showed him the problem. Second time he went back, Ai was defeated. And then here comes these folks of the Gibeonites. And so as they come and ask for this special privilege, and Joshua was deceived. He did not seek after the Lord. And please, let this be a lesson to every one of us, that each day seek the Lord's will, seek the Lord's power, and it'll be just such a blessing to you. And as you watch the Lord open the door and for these things, well, what happened was they were deceived. Joshua brought them in, made this covenant with them, this agreement with them, and this oath. And so as we have made this, then down the line, that same chapter 9, we find that Joshua found out that they were their neighbors. He says, why did you do this? He said, well, weren't you going to destroy us? And yes, they would have. But as we read last time back in Deuteronomy, there was provisions for those that would come before God's people and would say, please, forgive us. We want to join you. We want to be as you are. And God would accept them. And so it wasn't that they were just going to all be destroyed and no choices. There is always grace sufficient. And so when you stand before the Lord Jesus in judgment, if you refuse to come to Jesus today, and refuse to come to the cross today and be saved, if you don't do that, and you die tonight or you die tomorrow, don't think that any goodness that you possess is going to be of any consideration or any power, or any strength, because only by faith in Jesus Christ, it's a faith in your heart, speak with your mouth, yes, your mind, but down in your heart, you know in your heart that Jesus is real and Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you and I've trusted in Him for my salvation. It's all you need to do. But you need to do that and your life will be changed. You'll begin, you're a new creation, you got a new heart. The Lord Jesus lives within your heart. What a glorious day. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. If you refuse to do that, and you stand before Jesus, when you stand before Him, you're going to say, okay, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and He is going to say, you know, go away. I gave you a chance of salvation. Joshua here, there was ample time for salvation. All those years they were in Egypt, from the time that they came from Kadesh Barnea and come up. That's another 40 years or 38 and a half years they had to see and to repent and to turn. And now here they come, and instead of turning unto God and believing in God, they come with a lie and says, we're from a far distance. Well, they made this agreement. Joshua held to it. Now we're going to find out a problem already comes, already arrives here. And as we look at this, we find that here comes the king of Jerusalem. Now you think of Jerusalem being the city of Israel, and it will be, but right now it's not. And so here comes the king of Jerusalem. You know, we have in the Old Testament when Abraham came back, and we have Melchizedek, king of Salem. He was a godly king, but now as all these years have passed from this time back to the days of Abraham, you know, we're looking at some 400 years, 500 years before that Abraham had come before Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now we have a wicked king. And this wicked king, as he comes forward, and again, he's of the world. Well, he looks and he can see what Joshua has accomplished. And the God of Joshua has destroyed Jericho. The God of Joshua has destroyed Ai. And these Gibeonites, they have joined them. And we can't have that. And so, and this city of Gibeon was a mighty city. It's called a royal of the royal cities, because it is greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. And yet Gibeon has bowed down to Israel. We can't have this. The king of Jerusalem is kind of speaking on behalf of the king of Hebron and Jarmuth and the king of Lachish and the king of Eglon, as we look at that third verse. They came together in an alliance with the king of Jerusalem to come against Gibeon, because they have kind of went over to the enemy's side. Gibeon has joined the enemy, so to speak. And so what's going to go on here, they're going to show them, you don't do that. And so they didn't come against this mighty army of Israel, but they came against Gibeon because they had joined Israel. And so they go up against them. Well, we find, and it says here in verse 4, to show you that what we're looking at, come up unto me and help me, that we might smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. They have crossed over to the enemy's side. We're going to teach them a lesson. And so we find then, therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against them. Now, that was in the fifth verse. Sixth verse, then the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal. Remember, that's where they're camped at, in Gilgal. And he says, please, the enemy has come up against us. And so immediately Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, verse 7, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, and I don't want you to miss this, even though this wasn't God's way, God still came, because all these that were enemies, they were at one time going to be, one after another, God was going to send Joshua and the army, and they were going to be destroyed because God would go before them. It wasn't planned that they do all of them at once, but that's the way it worked out, because the enemy did that. And so God will take many times something that's a mistake, and that was to bring Gibeon in with us. That was a mistake. But God uses that mistake. He uses our ignorance, and he uses it for his honor and glory. And we find here that he's going to go against these, all these, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. These five kings. And so here we go against the enemies, against Gilgal, because they have, against Gibeon, because they have joined with the nation of Israel. Joshua, on the other hand, in verse 7, comes from Gilgal, and he brings his people of war with him, all the mighty men of valor, the seventh verse says. And then, again, the Lord says to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. Isn't that wonderful? There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now, who are you going to trust? Are you going to look at this vast army that's coming against you? You're going to go out and fight a battle that's not really yours, but because you've made this oath, sworn this oath with Gibeon, that you have to go fight a battle for them. And so now you go up and you head for them. And therefore Joshua came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Now, you see what he's doing. The Lord immediately says there's going to be no problem. We're going to have the victory. Joshua headed out immediately, and they traveled all night to get there. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died, and they and more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You see, don't miss this. You see what's happening is when God goes before you and fights the battle, what was happening is if you look here, you'll find that when these kings kind of a federation, they all came together to show Gibeon the problem here, and they've kind of joined into one body to go against Israel, and Gibeon of course had joined Israel deceitfully, but they had joined Israel, and so they were going to go show the Gibeonites that you're wrong and don't do it. Then, not only did these kings go against the nation of Israel, which is God's chosen people, but they're going against God himself. And so here comes God standing and coming against. So not only did he give Israel special power, but he comes and fights not only empowering them, but he also fights the battle itself. You see, if you would look at these areas, it's believed that it's almost every direction. And so when Joshua came down with his armies here, we find that they just scattered. They scattered every direction, and some in fear and some to go home, and because their homes were every direction. And if you look on the map, you'll kind of find that. It's spread every place. Well, Joshua's army, you know, would have been maybe made too small to go in small groups to take care of everything. And so instead of that, the Lord just takes care of it. He just sends these hailstones down, and we find that there are more killed from these hailstones than there is from the sword. You see, God not only empowers Israel to come, but he also fights the battle. And he's going to do the same thing for you and for me when we seek his will. As soon as the information come, the Lord spoke to Joshua and says, "Fear not, I'm going to give you the victory." And so they take off and they travel all night and they fight all day. Now be prepared. You know, there's going to be rest when we get to heaven. But be prepared to work. You know, today we really have become a very lazy society. Our goal is to work to make enough money so we can retire, so I can rest and relax, and I can play. Well, there's nothing in the Word of God for that. There is much work to be done, and we need to be busy at it. I don't know how many days the Lord's going to give me. I have no idea. But whatever days he gives me, I want to be busy at his work. And so we study the Word of God. We teach the Word of God. We proclaim the Word of God over the radio. We have all the studies that are up on the website, all for the purpose of teaching, bringing people to Jesus Christ and teaching folks the Word of God. If you begin to study and look at the Old Testament, and especially the book of Genesis, and you look at Genesis and Exodus, it's a tremendous foundation. That's the reason we take so much radio time to go through these, because most people do not teach the Old Testament, and especially the foundation. And you look at these first five books of Moses here. Oh, if you understand those, that New Testament's going to be so beautiful for you and so powerful for you, because you're going to understand what they were under in bondage and the time of grace that we have today. Well, here comes Joshua, and Joshua came, and he traveled all night, and he fought all day. And then it came to the end of that first day, and he's still not finished yet. And so Joshua said to the Lord, and he said, "Would you?" Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. He said, "In the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still up on Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. It is written, is it not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like this before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, what a beautiful story here. Now, again, understand, they had traveled, they had left under emergency conditions. They had traveled all night, they had fought all day, but they weren't, the enemy wasn't finished yet. And for them to, for the night to come, and for the enemy to be able to disperse, they would have gotten away from them. But instead of that, Joshua, and I don't think for a minute that Joshua thought this up on his own. I think the Lord put that thought in his mind. And the Lord does that all the time. He puts knowledge and wisdom, and he says, "Joshua, ask me. Ask me, and I'll hold that sun in that sky in that place for another 12 hours. I'll do it for all night. We'll skip a night here. We'll give you another day," the scripture says, because that's what you need. Now, do you think these armies and his warriors were getting tired? Yes, they were. Is there times that we get tired in proclaiming the gospel? Yes, you do. Do you decide that tonight I'm just not going to come to Bible study because I'm tired? Am I not going to study the Word of God tonight because I'm tired? I'm not going to go serve you, Lord. I'm not going to go help my brother because he needs some help because I'm tired. Oh, that's no excuse. God will give you the power and strength. He gave these men the power, and there's not one mention of a murmur, because they're out to do. We'll rest tomorrow. Don't worry about it. We got enemies to fight today. And my friend, that's exactly the way it is in our day. We need to stop this laziness. We need to be busy about His work. We need to be teaching and proclaiming and sharing the gospel and bringing people to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that day comes that you stand before Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He's going to look at your works. He's going to cast you in the lake of fire. It's just going to be that quick. You be ready, because it's going to come. It's going to come. I promise you it's going to come. So please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your power and for your strength. Look unto the God that created this world, that knowing that He can deliver you and He can give you all the strength that you need. And so we find here that the Lord held that day. And I'm so thankful that Joshua and those men of war, they didn't say, "Oh, I've got to rest. I've got to stop." They just kept going until the last was slain, till all was taken care of. So between the sword and the hailstones, they were all done away with. So there was a tremendous victory here all at once. And there was no day like that before, in verse 14, before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp of Gilgal. But there's five kings. These five kings fled into a cave, and it was told to Joshua. And so Joshua said, "Well, roll a great stone upon it till I can get to him." And so that's what he did. He rolled a great stone, and then when everything was over, the battle was finished, then he went and got the five kings. And he brought these five kings before him, and he had his mighty men of valor put their feet right on their necks. And, oh, my friend, that's the way the victory is going to come, because we're going to have, Jesus is going to put his foot right on the neck of the enemy, the old Satan, and he's going to eliminate him. And what a day, and what a victory. And so what an example to show this. And then we're said that Joshua took them out, hung them, and then they stayed there until the end of day, and when the day was over, sun was going down, they took the bodies down, threw them into the caves, kind of like the last battle, wasn't it? Threw them into the caves, and then they were stones and stuff were put in the front of the door. Oh, what a day to watch the Lord stop the sun. And we're going to visit with this a little bit more next time. To stop the sun for one day. Oh, what a victory. It was almost a day that God stopped that sun and left the moon in one place and the sun in one place. What a day. My dear friend, what a God we serve. Joshua asked, Joshua received. Let's come to him by faith. Let's ask. And then let's begin to serve him and bring in his wisdom and knowledge. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?